It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am here. Praise God.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Today is Thursday. We will attempt and do our best to have a word from Pastor DeWitt with the Truth Broadcast. He is not in the building. However, following the program, we will end the iPad so that we can start a new one. Anyway.
Sounds good to me, Monica.
Yeah, there'll be a little bit of music while we reset up the iPad. There we go.
All right, all right.
Would you pray to start us out, sir?
Father, we bless you and we love you, Lord God. We thank you that we are in the palm of your hand, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that your hand of protection and guidance is upon each and every one of us. Father, I speak it over the audience today. Father, I thank you for the word that you've given me to speak this morning. I pray that it come with your anointing. Father, I step aside to you in all ways, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, The Real Challenge.
The Real Challenge, yeah. So, in essence, I want to combine a couple of lessons that I've been doing on Wednesday night. Am I in the picture, Neva? Just in case. Okay, I just want to make sure. Not for me. I don't care if I'm in the picture or not, but sometimes people like to see who's talking. So, you know, I wanted to start out the real challenge. Had a couple of scripture texts there. Philippians 1:21 is a short verse: for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then the other text was in Titus, I'm going to move this over here. Titus chapter 2 and 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age. So, you know, it's just amazing how God's word is always fits where you are. Doesn't matter what time in history, God's word is always relevant for where we are. You know, I keep up with I don't keep up with it as much as what I used to because I tend to get off balance, but keeping up with all the things going on in the world, you know, and once again, the world's in a mess, you know, but the world's tendencies is going to be a mess because anything without God is not going to produce in the way it was created to produce. And so if we look at the world and keep our focus on the world, then what we're doing is basically we're pointing a finger and saying, well, that's the problem, that's the problem, that's the problem. You know, and in reality, the world is going to be the world. The world is going to do what the world does. The problem is not with the world. The problem is with the church. So, you know, I was listening to a guy on the radio yesterday, and he's talking about Fox News. This is the largest conservative voice probably in the world, Fox News. And so what do they want to promote? Well, they had a special on about a child, I guess the child is a teenager now, and out in California, and the story is about transitioning sex genders. And so the child is a biological female and is transitioning to be a boy. Yeah. And so under biblical standards, that's a no-brainer. Does that fit in God's kingdom? Absolutely not. But I want us to see what this indoctrination is doing. Because, see, there's a lot of believers. We're watching Fox News because we, you know, they're leaning more towards our point of view. But, you know, when you start slipping in a little bit of this and a little bit of that, what is that doing to us? So getting back to the problem is not with the world. The problem is with the church. Because Jesus said, upon this truth will I build my kingdom. This rock of revelation will I build my kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Are the gates of hell prevailing? You know, I mean, let's look at that. So if we see some prevailing in the evil forces, then who is responsible for that? Because the evil forces are going to do what their nature is. They are going to do evil. And so if evil is prevailing, now praise God, we got a lot of people rising up, a lot of movements, a lot of organizations that are just popping up everywhere. And we're seeing the hand of God working through people. And praise God for that, because if we are going to overcome in this life, now that doesn't mean we get everything we want and life is blissful. No, it's a fact that if you want good in your life, it's going to take work and effort. And so, you know, that's basically what I want to start out with in this, the real challenge, because let me read this to you. We strive for that which is just outside of our reach. We may taste that dainty morsel in the moment of life, but can certainly not hold on to it. The cat chases its tail. Let me say that again. The cat chases its tail. The mule reaches for the carrot. The adventurer seeks the mountain to climb. The mother yearns for that warm bath and solitude. The young man seeks proof of his existence, while the old man just wants to correct all of his mistakes. Greatness is identified by great achievements. The truly great are not identified by that achievement in their own eyes. They simply recognize a great need and feel it. You know, and so when we're looking at this, folks, you know, there's a lot of great opportunity out there. And you might say, well, you know, I'm just an everyday person. You know, I'm not somebody in the pulpit or I'm some great anointed vessel of God. Well, let me tell you something. You may not be in the pulpit, but you are greatly anointed of God. Because I want you to know something, that God has placed a gift in you that no one else has. If that gift is taken out of the equation, there's something missing. You're that part. I like what Bill Johnson says. God gives us a gift. When we recognize that gift, it becomes opportunity because we see ways to use the gift. And as we fulfill the opportunity, it develops purpose in our life. You know, it's not just chasing the cat's tail. That's not our purpose. You know, I think about it that, you know, I'm like you and we're all about the same. You know, we get up in the morning and what do? Well, generally we did what we did yesterday morning, right, Monica? Yeah. And, you know, we get all that stuff out of the way because what are we pursuing? Whatever's on the list. Whatever we have decided, this is what I'm going to do today. And so we go on, we pursue that list. Sometimes it's tough, sometimes it's not. You know, it doesn't matter, it's just a day. And so you get through that day, you get to the end of the day, what are you going to do? Probably what you did yesterday. You know, and so then you go to bed, go to sleep, get up, start over. Same thing every day. You know, so where we are in the world today, and I tell you, the Lord has just really put this strong in my heart. And this is the message that he's given me to proclaim because this is fixable. It's repairable. We can never lose hope when we have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. We can never lose hope. You know, I was in prayer when, you know, as well as you, our eyes were being opened to everything going on and we're seeing this and that and thinking, how in the world did we get to here? Well, our eyes began to open because we started getting information. Everybody's looking for information. Why? Because they're sitting at home. Everything's shut down for COVID. And so our eyes were open. And so mine were, and I'm praying the Lord, and I'm seeing this big issues that need to be dealt with. And I'm saying, Lord, what can I do about this? I'm just a little speck. What can I do about it? The Lord answered me, and he said, keep doing what you're doing. And so what I am doing is I have found a gift that God gave me. He's sharing that gift with you today. Whether you consider it a gift or not, well, that it, if it's not a gift to you, then you need to find somebody else that has that gift that is going to minister to you. But anyway, I take that gift and I see opportunity. With Neve, it was, I don't know, 15 years ago, I don't know, started on this program. And I can't remember exactly how, but you know, I did want to show that I got a retro shirt on today. This is where we started, 94.3 The Rock. Yeah, anyway, I don't remember exactly how it started, but it wasn't one of them things that Neva called me up, you want to come speak on this program, and it wasn't me saying, let me speak on your program. We just talked, and I said, you know, I do a little bit of teaching and preaching. I said, if you ever need somebody, just holler at me. And it wasn't long after that. It's been every month since. And so it's just recognizing the gift that God has given you. You got to grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of that. If you don't know what your gift is, allow the Lord to reveal it to you because there's lots of opportunity. And once you feel that opportunity, you find purpose for your life. And as you start walking in your purpose, you can look back and you start leaving a trail of destiny. And you start realizing, this is why I'm here. Now, that's re-identified in time. Sometimes we get in our mind, well, this is why I'm here. And then life goes on, and this happens, and that happens. And we realize that, you know what, that what I was thinking before isn't exactly accurate right now. So I've got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how this purpose is fitting in my life again. So that's the key. Find your gift. Let the opportunity come, because, as I've said before, opportunity opens its own doors. You don't have to open those doors. The gift opens the way for the giver. Opportunity opens its own doors. Then you'll develop that purpose and find that destiny for your life. Because if you're breathing, you have a purpose. And you may think your gift is insignificant. When I was looking at all the world problems, I'm thinking, what can I do about this? Do what God put in you to do. And so, you know, that is in the real challenge, because I want you to know we have an enemy. We have an enemy, and this enemy has a strategy. And so, understanding that the strategy of the enemy is a form of witchcraft. Now, why am I saying this? Because I got this thought from Derek Prince. So Derek Prince says that witchcraft or demonic activity has three aspects to it. Number one, it is to manipulate. And so I want us to see this, that what the enemy is bringing at us, and especially through media sources, and we have so many media sources now that you can't just point, well, it's not just TV anymore. Matter of fact, TV's probably not number one anymore. It's our little handheld devices that we make phone calls on. You know, it's the Twitter and the Facebook and the Snapchat and what's the other one? I don't know. There's many platforms out there. And so we are being influenced by what we allow through our eyes. The wife and I, now no condemnation here, but I don't know how long ago, it's been quite a while, we decided that we're putting Facebook away. I decided on my own, she decided on our own, but it was about the same time. But I found when I got on Facebook that I was literally wasting hours. Yeah, you might get a nugget out of there every once in a while, but you have to wade through all the other stuff, all the other information about what this person's doing, that person's doing, and so on and so forth. You know, some of this stuff we don't need, folks. We don't need it. It's not benefiting. You know, Paul said, everything is permissible. What that means, you can do whatever you want, but not everything is profitable. And so when you're looking at the problems in the world, instead of talking about the problems, be the answer to the problems. I've already told you how you do that with the gift. And so what is going on is the enemy is bringing manipulation in through the media sources. And he is slowly, just like what I said with Fox News, he is slowly indoctrinating, not the world, because the world's already outside of God's kingdom, God's family. He is indoctrinating the children of God, because he knows if he gets your mind, which I'm going to get to that thought in a minute, if he gets your mind, he's got your life. So we got manipulation. And then the next area that the enemy comes in is with intimidation. And this goes on not only in, we see this in government control, we see it in the education, all these things that are causing us to step back. My father-in-law loves Jesus, great man of God. Not father-in-law, my stepfather. He's like a father to me. But he said, excuse me, he said he went to the one of the teachers at the public school, and we've been on all over the world distributing what's called the Book of Hope. And it is just the Gospels and first and second chapter of Acts. And that's the extent of it. It's not somebody's interpretation. It's God's word, just in the Gospels and a little bit of Acts. And so we've distributed these in schools all over the world through the Book of Hope. And he asked the teacher, he said, "Can I hand some of these out to the children in our schools?" And she said, "Probably not. That will not fly." What is that? It's intimidation. We've taken the thought of separation of church and state, and I know most of us know this, but the separation of church and state was not for to keep the church out of the government. It was to keep the government out of the church. That's why it was initiated. Because we had different states that were denominational. We had the Presbyterians, the Friends, and the Quakers, and the Anglicans, and we had states that adopted a certain denomination. And so they were arguing with each other about this stuff. So Thomas Jefferson said, what we have to establish is unity. And so now what we're going to do, instead of the states telling us this is the denomination need to be a part of, we need to separate that. You can't delegate how you worship God. That's the reason why it was given. And so what the government is doing now, and once again, it's a lot of worldly people of the world. They're saying, no, we can't have religion in the schools. It was never intended that way, folks. How did it become that way? Because we allowed it through indoctrination, manipulation, and intimidation. And so the final move, when the enemy has manipulated and intimidated you, the end product is domination. And so if we don't stand up and be who God created us to be, I'm going to tell you that we are going to be dominated. We're already experiencing it in levels. On Sunday morning, a few Sundays ago, what we do is I usually get there 30 minutes early. Why? Because I want to get there 30 minutes early? No, because Heather wants to get there 30 minutes early. So that's fine with me. I don't complain about it. I'm going to sit there at this table and drink some coffee. And we got a nice little meeting room in there and pretty good size. So a bunch of guys come in early and we all sit around and drink coffee. And you know what we do, Monica? We solve world problems. Isn't that what you're supposed to do, Neva? Yeah, we solve world problems. And so we talk about the gospel, talk about the world and different things. Well, there's one guy a few seats down from me, he blurted out and he said, if God doesn't do something, we are going to fall. And I said, God is not going to do anything. Wow. Let me say it again. God is not going to do anything.
I bet that guy had a shocked look on his face and his mouth fell open.
Well, maybe. Probably a lot of people did. Because what I mean by that, what I mean is God has already done something. He sent his son.
Amen.
And everything God does now is through Christ. Does that fit the biblical description? Absolutely. And so if we're praying for God to do something, we need to realize he's already done it. So how is he going to affect our world? By his sovereignty? He is going to affect the world by his sovereignty, but it's misapplied in our understanding because the way he operates in this world is through people. I'm a people. You're a people. Everybody listening here, we're all people. if we want God to do something in our country, in our world, He's wanting to do it more than we want Him to do it. I think about what Isaiah did when he walked into the court of heaven, and from the throne, the statement was made, the question, who am I going to send? And Isaiah immediately said, here am I, send me. The voice of the Lord is going out to the church today. And the voice of the Lord is, who am I going to send? Lord, send me. You know, and so if the enemy can control your thoughts, he can control your desires. And so a lot of people leave this out in the equation. But if he's got a hold of your thoughts are going to translate to your desires. Because desires are always the buffer for your thoughts. With your thoughts, you're either going to feel angry, sad, happy, glad. You know, thoughts trigger emotions. And so in the emotions, that's where your desires come forth. And so if he can control your desires, then he can control your actions. Because we do because we want to. We don't do because we have to. It reminds me of the teacher getting on to Johnny. And Johnny kept getting up and bothering people. And the teacher kept getting on to him. And finally, the teacher says, Johnny, you sit down right now. So he knew he was in trouble, so he sat down. But he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm not sitting down on the inside. And see, that's where we got to come in line. Because I want you to know something, that God has your best interests in mind. He desires for you to be that vessel to change your world. And as we all begin to change our world in our little places, before we know it, our world is changing. You know, we see a lot about politics because we see what our government's doing. And it's sad for Christians. It's very sad things that are going on, the things that are promoting, the things they're trying to implement. The position that it has placed us in economically and even socially. I mean, with all of the intimidation and the things that, you know, if you don't keep your mouth shut, then you're ostracized. And so all the things that are going on that, you know, we're focusing on politics. Well, let me tell you something. Politics is not the answer. Back again Sunday morning at our little coffee table there. I came in and the guys are sitting down, and I said, I figured out how to solve all the world problems. Well, everybody's looking at me, and I said, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. We look at people and we know everybody needs Jesus, but we don't want to offend people and we don't want to say the wrong thing, and, you know, just all these barriers that we place before us. And why are we here? To share Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why you're here. You're here to share Jesus. And so this is what the world is looking for. Whether they deny it, it's what they're looking for. So I want you to see that I went through that. If the enemy can control your thoughts, he can manipulate or control your desires. If he can control the desires, he controls your actions. And to bring this to a full circle, you know what your actions do. They justify your thoughts. Every time. And so, you know, recognizing why we're here. I'm going to go back to my notes here. I've been rambling. So the real challenge is not what's around us. The real challenge is what's in us. Because you have the answer to the problems that affect your area through the gift that God's given you. Recognize the gift. Don't discount what God has placed in you. Don't try to minimize it and say, well, this is so small, it doesn't amount to anything. It amounts to a lot. You're needed. You're needed in where we are. What I want to do now is probably let's take a break here and we'll be back. We gotta pay for the program, so to speak. Listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back in a minute.